School's out for summer, as Alice Cooper once said, but in Flint, that summer vacation is about to get a lot shorter. The city's public schools are switching to a balanced school calendar that will start on August 7th. Those lost summer vacation days will be converted into shorter breaks throughout the year. The goal is to reduce so-called summer brain drain, but does it work? For more on that, I'm joined by the Dean of the University of Michigan's School of Education, Elizabeth Moji. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning.
Most Michigan students and parents are used to a traditional academic calendar, two semesters, a winter break, a spring break, and then that long summer vacation. Could you walk us through how a typical balanced year calendar is structured?
Well, the question of how a balanced calendar year is structured is complex. My understanding of the Flint situation is that it's really about reducing summer learning loss. When that is the structure, it's typically a matter of starting, you know, as you said, earlier in the summer, then having 2 to 3 week breaks that are staggered throughout the year. Sometimes those are referred to as intersessions. In other words, it's not simply time off school, but that the school district would actually be offering activities for the students. I don't know the exact plan for Flint, but that's a typical balanced calendar plan.
And the calendar reduces the downtime from one school year to the next, but beyond that, how can that type of schedule allow school districts to change the way they teach?
I think the biggest plus is that reduction of summer learning loss, the amount of time between the typical traditional end of the school year in June and the start of the school year in September is vast for children who aren't in other structured activities. When children aren't in those activities, there's a loss, and it's well documented, so that we see that loss hits mainly children who don't have the resources, whose families don't have the resources to provide them, you know, really high quality activities that will help them continue to learn language, to, you know, do science. That's really the number one outcome of this.
The idea of year-round school isn't new. In the 90s, I remember thinking, boy, I hope this doesn't catch on before I get out of high school. What do we know today about its effects on student learning?
Well, you're right, Doug. It is not new. It even predates the 90s. So we do know that some schools have had great success. What I've heard about the Flint experience with a pilot that they've done is that children, teachers, parents felt it was something that was supporting their children's learning and also actually feasible. So that's really about what we know. We have a lot of stories of good results, but not really clear research that definitively says one way or another that these different school structures are working.
This isn't just a gear shift for students and families. As you mentioned, it's also a big change for teachers and staff. You're a former high school teacher. What advice would you give to teachers and administrators who are trying to make the most of this change?
I think I would celebrate the change. One exciting opportunity is the idea that you have time between each of those chunks of instruction to really plan for and develop that next full unit of instruction. Mm. So teachers will actually have much more planning time. For, you know, teachers, that summer is often, if they're not holding down a second job to make ends meet, they're all often planning, you know, developing new units of instruction. And so now that can be distributed across the year. It seems to me to be a much more flexible kind of structure and probably healthier.
Elizabeth Moji is the Dean of the School of Education at the University of Michigan. Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Doug. Pleasure to talk with you.